I'd like to call the October 26, 2020 Water Intake Facilities Board meeting to order and to remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. Thank you. I ask each of the WIFIA board members please respond with "here" when I call your name. Mark? Sansusi? Okay. John Boss?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you. John Godsley?
Here.
Sean Garland?
Here.
John Goodhouse?
Here.
Christine Ackerball?
Here.
Okay, Annette will now proceed with the roll call for WIFIA committee members and other attendees.
All right, from the managing agency, Dave Kraska?
Here.
Clark Balfour?
Yes.
Joelle Bennett?
Present.
Lisa Houghton?
Present.
Joel Carey?
Present.
Christina Walther?
Present.
From the management committee, from TBWD, Tom Hickman?
I'm here.
All right, City of Beaverton, Chad Lynn? I don't see him. City of Hillsborough, Nikki Iverson?
I'm here.
City of Sherwood, Craig Sheldon? City of Tigard, Brian Rager?
Here.
And City of Wilsonville, Brian Cosgrove?
Delora Cooper's in place of Brian Cosgrove.
Okay, perfect, thanks Delora. And then from the operations committee, we have TBWD, Carrie Pack?
Here.
City of Hillsborough, Jessica Dorsey?
Here.
And do we have somebody from the City of Beaverton? David Winship? I don't see him. Or City of Sherwood, Rich Sattler? Oh, and City of Tigard, John Goodrich? Nope. And we have three guests tonight from Water System Consulting, Holly Titchener.
Hi, here.
And Susan Schlanigan.
I'm here. Thanks.
And from GeoSynTech, Rob Anier.
Hello.
Did I miss anyone?
Okay, General Manager's Report. David Kraska, would you present the General Manager's Report, please?
Glad to. Good evening, Commissioners. I'll run through the usual General Manager's Report, starting off with our remote meetings etiquette. We've already covered this before, but I'll just quickly say, please mute your microphones when you're not talking. Looks like everyone's doing very well at that. Please identify yourself before you speak. And if somebody other than a board member would like to ask a question or maybe comment, please use the chat feature to let me know and wait to be acknowledged. So a quick safety moment. We've got fall safety tips. So if you haven't noticed, the temperature has changed around here and we've got some safety tips to consider. With some precautions and safety awareness, you and your family can enjoy the crisp autumn weather while avoiding some of the dangers that come with the season. First off is, for the click is consider having your furnace and chimney serviced by a professional and clean out your fireplace. It's getting colder out there. You want to know that it's safe to use those things, so please do so. Replace batteries and smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors. It's good to do that on a regular basis each year, and so now's a good time as any. Prepare for shorter days and lower sun angles, and specifically that means make sure your car windows are clean and use your headlights when you're driving during those periods. And just understand that when you're commuting or driving around, it's likely going to be darker or the sun might be in your eyes at various times. Keeping an emergency kit in your car. If you've lived in the Pacific Northwest long enough, you know it can freeze without much warning or snow, and so you might get stuck and you want to be prepared if that were to happen. Check your windows for leaks, again, for keeping your house warm and comfortable. And get a flu shot. I think that's the last of the bullets. I myself got a flu shot yesterday. Quite frankly, I'm feeling some of the effects of it. You know, they say you might get feel a little ill after you get a flu shot, so I'm kind of dealing with that right now, but I know it's the right thing to do. So anyways, recommend, especially this year more than any, get a flu shot. I think that's the last of the fall safety tips. So moving on with the general manager's report, we get into the raw water facilities project update. The raw water facilities project, which is part of the Willamette water supply system, includes upgrades to the Willamette intake facilities, including replacing the screens, expanding the air burst system, and improving seismic resiliency. This semi-annual update is intended to keep the WIF Commission apprised of the regular progress being made on this project. A last update was provided to the WIF board at the July 2020 meeting. The update included information on the construction notice to proceed and initial site work. There are two phases of construction planned for the raw water facilities project. The majority of improvements to the WIF infrastructure are included in the first phase, phase one. However, there are a few WIF-related improvements in the second phase, or phase two. Phase one construction is underway and is currently scheduled to finish in February 2022. Phase two of construction is planned to start in September of 2022. Since the July 2020 update, the contractor has completed the upper site mass excavation, grading and the berms, is nearing completion of the lower site access road. Equipment mobilization is complete for the continuous flight auger piles at the upper site, and construction of the CFA piles will commence in the near future. Mobilization is in process for the trenchless pipeline crossing at Arrowhead Creek. At the lower site, the deep soil mixing for the caisson stability work is underway. The contractor has set up the batch plant operation and continues to mobilize large drill rig equipment in preparation for the work. The deep soil mixing will ramp up to full-scale operation over the next several months, and will be followed by the jet grout operation. The in-water work in the Willamette River will include fish screen replacement, is scheduled for fall of 2021. The contractor has submitted the fish screen equipment shop drawing for review. So, next item is the WIF board member tour is scheduled. At the July 2020 meeting, board meeting, we discussed arranging tours of the raw water facility construction project. There was agreement that two tours were preferred. The first focused on the bank stabilization work that is scheduled to occur between Q4 2020 and Q1 2021. And the second focused on pump station and intake related work scheduled to occur in Q3 2021. The first of those tours has now been scheduled for December 10, 2020. We anticipate the tour to begin with a brief safety check and orientation presentation, followed by the guided tour of the construction activity. Additional details will be emailed to you as they are finalized. If you will allow me, commissioners, I'd like to step out of the general manager's report right now for a little bit of an update on this planned tour. So it's a tour of a construction site, and anytime we do a tour of a construction site, there's a tremendous focus on safety. Typically, that means high visibility vests, hard hats, other PPE to make sure you're safe around a construction site. This is a different year, and a lot more safety precautions are being planned. And frankly, as we're working through some of those details, it's going to be a bit of a challenge to conduct this tour. Typically when we do a tour like this, we'll gather in a conference room at the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant. There's a very nice conference room that we could use for a pre-tour presentation, essentially, of what it is we're about to see, the things that we're going to be viewing, the safety procedures, and so on. We've reviewed that conference room, and frankly, we don't think we can practice adequate social distancing and use a conference room for this purpose. So we're working through some of these details, and there's some challenges. And certainly, masks will be required, social distancing will be required. And so we can over, and we'll probably break up into a couple of groups to keep it, be able to have enough distance between the folks that are attending. However, as you've probably experienced, when you're wearing a mask and you're trying to communicate with somebody, especially when you're maintaining some distance, and then you add that onto a construction site, it's not ideal, and it can be quite challenging. So we're trying to work through that. We're trying to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep everything safe. And so I wanted to get any feedback from you on that. And one other thing is we're considering if that becomes just too unwieldy, and frankly, if there's a kind of a lack of interest in braving those conditions, we could instead do essentially a video tour where our communication staff would go out to the site, basically do a video tour of the facilities that we would be otherwise viewing in live. And then you would be able to watch it at your convenience in the warmth and comfort of your own home. So I want to stop there for a second and see if there's any feedback you'd like to give me at this time as we're working through these details.
This is John.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go. I would like to see, I always like in person better. I feel like you get a better feel and better experience and ask questions. So if we're able to break off into smaller groups, that would be my preference.
Very good.
This is Commissioner Godsey. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I would be satisfied with the visual tour, and maybe that would help if a number of commissioners elected the visual or the
video tour.
The video tour, and then others that really wanted to be on site could be on site. That may be putting an extra burden on you, Dave, but for me, that would be a good solution.
Thank you.
This is Chip. Being in a high risk group, I would be happy to be on the video tour, although it would be second to being in place. But my risk group is so high that I'd like to do the video tour only.
Very good.
My thought is that the video tour will be fine for, I think, this tour, because if I see your schedule correctly, the construction of the reinforcements for the work down at the lower level won't have been completed at this time, so it'd be more of a site exploration, and I think that would work reasonably well for a video tour. What you might do, though, is before that tour takes place, is just ask the commissioners what are the key things you would like to see in a video tour, and if anybody wants to go there and be there, I think that's great. But a December tour of a riverside construction site where there really hasn't been any significant construction yet, I think I would be perfectly satisfied with a video presentation. The second tour that you're proposing is one where I would definitely be more interested in being physically present.
Very good. Thank you.
And this is Commissioner Garland. Yeah, I had previously opted out of the tour when given the option anyways, so a video tour would be great for my needs.
Very good.
Councillor Goodhouse, I just thought about it. The nice thing about the video tour, we could share that with our councils as well. So so I think that would be good. I think this new technology phase of COVID's kind of allowed us to maybe get more resources. So for maybe our councils that may be curious what's going on, it'd be a good way to share it with them.
Yep, absolutely.
But put me down for in person, though.
Done. Councillor Eichelbaum?
Yeah, thank you. I would just say that I am happy to be flexible in whatever form I can video, and of course, being in Wilsonville, I can easily go to the site and participate in person if that is deemed the best presentation method as well. So happy to be flexible.
Very good. Appreciate it. Very much appreciated. So this is excellent. So What I'm hearing is that there's a support and preference, frankly, for a video tour by many of the commissioners, and we'll follow through on that. A couple of the commissioners, at least, would like to do the in-person tour. The fact that we have a much smaller group that we're going to be doing the tour with is beneficial to us. So let me take that feedback back to my team, and we'll continue to work on this, and you'll be hearing more from me about this in the future. So appreciate that. Thank you. Getting back to the rest of the general manager support, we have a curtailment plan update. With support of the operations committee, staff continue to make progress on the draft WIF curtailment plan. Staff have progressed the curtailment triggers and responses information and developed proposed decision-making processes and response strategies, nearly ready for operations committee review. We anticipate submitting the draft document to the operations committee later this fall and beginning coordination with the finance and management committees in late in 2020. Approved meeting minutes and resolutions. Since all these meetings are being held virtually, we need to agree on how to collect signatures for the approved minutes and resolutions. We'd like to propose collecting electronic signatures using Adobe Sign, as that would provide an efficient and safe way to execute these documents. And so the list of documents here that we have that we need signatures for, including from our January 27, 2020 meeting, the meeting minutes and resolution 01-20, which is amending Exhibit 8, our budget calendar, from our April 27, 2020 meeting, the meeting minutes, resolution 02-20, which is approving the fiscal year 2020-21 annual work plan and budget, and resolution 03-20, approving fiscal year 2020-21 meeting schedule. And then finally, the meeting minutes from our July 27, 2020 meeting. So let me again break out of the general manager support here for a second and ask if it's acceptable to the commissioners to proceed using electronic signatures for this process.
Commissioner Godsey, I approve.
Commissioner Sanssouci, as long as we're just looking at straightforward things like resolutions and minutes that have already been passed by the commission, no problem at all.
Very good.
This is Jim Doan. It works for TVWD.
Yeah, I don't see any issue with that.
Thank you.
Crystal Akerval, and I agree that that makes sense as a method to get the electronic signatures.
Excellent.
Councilor Goodhouse, I agree.
I think that was everybody. Getting a lot done tonight. Thank you. Finally, finish up my general manager's report here. Task 4B of the annual work plan requires the managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and provide them to the WIF board as part of the packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the WIF quarterly financial statement for the period ending September 30, 2020. And that finally concludes tonight's general manager's report. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions of the general manager? Okay, moving on. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on the agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any persons who would like to comment? Hearing none. Moving on to the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items, which do not require discussion. Approval of the July 27, 2020 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
Commissioner Sanssouci moves approval of the consent agenda.
Commissioner Councilman, I second it.
Okay, great. I ask that each WIFIF, WIF board member, please respond with an aye or opposed when I call out your name. Mark Sanssouci?
Yes.
John Gottsley?
Yes.
Sean Garland?
Aye.
John Goodhouse?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
Jim Doan? Yes. The motion passes. Business agenda. There are no business agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Informational item A. Mr. Carey, will you present the legislative update?
Good evening, commissioners. Yes, I will. Thank you. So, looks like we missed the title slide, but we'll just go over the basic housekeeping items for a minute here. So, just a reminder, Joel Carey, Water Resource Manager for Tooele Valley Water District and current Oregon Water Utility Council Chair. So tonight for our October meeting, I'll be taking care of our legislative updates. So there's three general concepts for tonight we're gonna go over. And a little bit different style tonight. We do have a presentation, and I also wanted to break these down into the three primary concepts that we've been addressing and working on lately from the legislative front. That would be continuing to work with the Oregon legislature on impacts to water utilities from COVID-19, harmful algal blooms work group to address the occurrence, risks, and prevention of cyanohabs, and more recently, wildfire impacts to water providers has become a priority item, as you can imagine, given the recent wildfires across our state. So with that, we'll go to the first slide. So, impacts from COVID-19, members, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the updates from the past about this. This has been an ongoing topic. Drinking water and wastewater representatives have continued to meet with the Oregon Legislature's House Committee on Water to discuss the impacts from COVID-19. On September 23rd, updates were provided to committee members on a range of issues. These included ongoing revenue impacts to both small and large water utilities, the current state of utility disconnects, and general access rates by customers seeking financial assistance to pay for their water services. The goal of this committee hearing was to engage members on the efforts water providers have and continue to make during COVID-19 to protect public health while balancing the need to remain financially stable and to make sure that if additional federal stimulus funds become available, the Oregon legislature has the right process in place to distribute these funds to water supply agencies across the state. This item will continue to be part of engagement through 2020 and into the 2021 legislative session, which begins in January. Just as a reminder, this is a long session this year, so we're not entirely clear what that legislative session will look like. It's in a general assumption that a lot of it will be virtual, but there is still a chance that some of it may have some face-to-face committee hearings, but nonetheless, it is the long session, so expect it to be expect there to be quite a bit of activity in light of everything going on for this session. Next slide. So our next item for discussion is related to the harmful algal blooms work group addressing cyanohabs. So work with the Legislative Policy Research Office, or LPRO, to address cyanohabs has continued to move forward at the direction of Representative Helm, Chair of the House Committee on Water. The members of the HABS work group and LPRO created an online survey in August to better understand some of the existing gaps and barriers in addressing cyanohabs. Over 80 respondents completed the survey, from water suppliers to state agencies and local watershed councils. Side note, this survey was completed by TVWD as the managing agency for the WIF Commission on your behalf. So we did make sure that the WIF Commission did respond to that, addressing some of the concerns that we have as a shared intake facility. Results are still being evaluated, but given the September 25th deadline to submit legislative concepts for the 2021 session, two bills were introduced in draft form. One to supply the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality with additional cyanotoxin testing equipment to support requirements for drinking water providers and their seasonal testing, and another aimed at consolidating resources into a centralized, publicly facing website for improved coordination, as an example. The members of the HABS work group will be meeting three additional times this month. In fact, the three subgroups are meeting starting tomorrow this week through the end of the week to make recommended changes to the current draft bills, which may alter them substantially from their current form. Just bear in mind that when work groups get together, draft legislative concepts are very broad and very general, so the point of the work group is to really get into the weeds and consider what we might want to address for the 2021 legislative session. Next slide. So last, we'll just touch upon the wildfire discussions happening right now. As I noted, this is obviously a very recent occurrence, nonetheless devastating across the state. So it's become a big focus for the Water Utility Council and a lot of utilities that have been impacted. So efforts at the legislative level have focused on this issue in recent weeks. Items of progress include outreach to the Office of Emergency Management on targeted debris removal and waterways impacting drinking water sources, and outreach to the Oregon Health Authority regarding testing downstream of wildfire-impacted areas. In addition, the Oregon Water Utility Council is forming a small wildfire subcommittee to collaborate on this issue with a variety of potential agencies. This includes various state agencies, as noted previously, and Oregon State University concerning areas of needed research. Progress and subsequent details about this item will be shared during the next WIC Commission board meeting. With that, my legislative updates are concluded, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions of Joel? Well, Joel, I guess you're off the hook now.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Walter will present an update on the thermal trading plan.
Good evening, Commissioners. We wanted to give you an update on the latest developments and approval of our thermal trading plan. Just a quick refresher, a thermal trading plan is a plan to offset temperature impacts to a river from either a discharge or a withdrawal, as we're going to be doing from the Willamette. And we were required to submit a plan to DEQ as a requirement of our Clean Water Act Section 401 water quality certification, or permits. We submitted our draft plan to DEQ last November 2019. DEQ conducted its internal review, then held an open public comment period, posted it in open comment period February 14th to April 3rd of this year. During that period, the plan received seven formal written comments, one of which requested that DEQ hold a public hearing on the plan, which they honored and held virtually on July 1st. The comments can be broken down into two general categories or camps, if you will. The first one was technical questions and requests for clarification on the language itself of the plan, and then wanting to have more information about our proposed environmental benefit projects, our mitigation projects, if you will, as well as, again, some clarifications on our methodology and how we calculated our trading ratio. Second group, or second camp, of comments were basic challenges to DEQ's authority and administration of thermal trading plans in general. During the public hearing, staff tried to address the questions that we felt were low-hanging fruit that were very easy to identify and to address. In particular, the points where the public had wanted more information about our environmental benefits projects. We had originally had this information in the plan, but at DEQ's request, they had us strip that information and just focus the plan on the plan itself, the methodology for how we are going to calculate our credit generation. So during the public hearing, we had that opportunity to expand on and talk about our environmental projects that we wanted to do. So we identified two of them, and we spoke a little bit more at length. The Malala State Park Floodplain, Forest, and Riparian Area Health Restoration Project. which is being done down in Malala River, done in collaboration with Malala River Watch, which Oregon State Parks has contracted to do habitat improvement in the park. So we're part of a team there. This project will involve removal of invasive species and replanting of native trees to increase stream shading. Habitat restoration will also be incorporated where the replanting occurs. The second project that we talked about in the public hearing is the Chicken Creek Habitat Project, where we are working, which is occurring within the Tualatin River National Wildlife Refuge. This project involves restoring the lower reach of Chicken Creek, Channel to a more historical alignment through its former floodplain, as well as restoring its associated floodplain wetlands. The project is being done in collaboration with the Friends of the Tualatin Wildlife Refuge, which supports Clean Water Services in the project design and implementation. Following the public hearing, DEQ sent the WWSP a small list of requested modifications. The two most notable requests were adjusting our treaty ratio from our proposed ratio of 1.7 to 1 to the new ratio of 2 to 1, which aligns with other environmental permit mitigation permits that are out and about there in the universe. The second request was a restriction to locate our trading credit project, our mitigation, our environmental benefit projects, to areas along the Willamette River and or its tributaries below reservoirs. The rationale for that request was that it would that any project located above a reservoir would have limited, if any temperature reduction reductions downstream due to the length of the time the water would sit in the reservoir. Therefore, we wouldn't necessarily be achieving our goal of cooling water downstream of our point of diversion. There were some few minor editorial changes in language for clarifications. Staff felt we could adjust and accommodate all that was being requested, which we did. We put them back into the plan, updated the plan, and submitted it back to DEQ on September 1st. We just got word on Friday afternoon, on the October 23rd, that our plan was actually approved. And with the approval, DEQ has posted the plan as approved on their website, along with their official responses to all the comments they received during the public comment period. Now, at this point, the WWSP staff will continue to work with DEQ to analyze the credits achieved through the two projects I just talked about, and determine whether full credits have been achieved or if we need to continue to generate more credits, of which we would be working and looking for projects that align with all of the terms and conditions in our plan. That is my review. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have at this time on this.
This is Jim. There are no questions. We'll move on to the next item. Mr. Fraskett, Ms. Walter, will you present an update on the vision, mission, and values and goals? Okay, I got the order wrong. Vision, values, and goals.
Thank you, Commissioner Doan. I'll just do a very brief introduction to Christina, who will then introduce Holly. All of my introduction is just hearkening back to our January meeting this year when we presented to the board whether there was interest in pursuing crafting mission, vision, values, and goals for the WIF Commission, and there was broad support for it and interest in it. Since that time, the team has gotten together to figure out how to pull that off, and part of that included procurement of facilitation services, of which Water Systems Consulting was the winning proposer, and Holly will be presenting our status to date so far. But Christina is our project manager for this effort, and I'd like her to shepherd it from here. So take it away, Christina.
Okay, a very quick overview because I don't want to steal time and thunder from Holly and Susan. But since the WIF board's last meeting, we completed our request for proposal selection process and obviously awarded a contract to Water Systems Consulting. We got through the contracting phase on September 8th. We hit the ground running, and on September 9th, we actually met with WSC to give them an orientation to who is the WIF, what is the WIF. Its makeup and current tasks, its associations and connections to the WWSS, the WWSP, and the Willamette River Water Coalition. Then during the week of September 21st, WSC conducted one-on-one informal interviews with each of the WIF board members to gain individual perspectives and understanding of what everyone envisioned was the WIF roles, in particular as it related to the Willamette watershed, success factors, visions for the future of the commission, what everyone thought we were going to be doing in a few years, and then the mission, vision, values, and goals framework. What was the envisionment for the future use of that framework? Holly and Susan are going to be discussing the themes that emerged from the interviews in just a few minutes, and then right on the heels of the interviews, we also conducted our first working group workshop, which was held on September 30th. It was virtual, and it was a three-hour session. Again, Holly and Susan will delve more into the details of the outcomes of that workshop in their report. I don't want to steal their thunder again, so I'm just going to leave my last of my opening comment here is by saying the next meeting, the next workshop of the working group is going to be November 18th. Again, it's going to be held virtually, and the focus of that particular session will be the topic of values and the keys to success. So now I'm going to turn it over to our mission, vision, values, and goals facilitators, Holly and Susan from Water Systems Consulting. Take it away.
Thank you, Christina. Good evening, everyone. I believe Susan's going to pull up our slides, so we'll do a little switch here. All right. So, we're looking forward to getting into this information with the group here. I'll just get right to it. So our process for the mission, vision, values, and goals will go through three steps, if you wouldn't mind getting to the next slide, Susan. Essentially, we start with envisioning. So we start really big picture with the team. We met with the work group. We interviewed the board. We're in this envisioning stage right now. Then we're going to get into what we call the engaging stage. This is where we're finding what are common perceptions, where there's alignment, where there needs to be added discussion as we get to the mission, vision, values, and goals. And then the deliver stage that you see here is the culmination of the work where you'll have a really framework to work from for priorities and goal setting, additional goal setting that's time bound. This particular document will help guide that, but anything that's time sensitive would be in your initiatives. So that's just a big picture overview of the steps in the process. Just to orient everyone, as we do this work, it's always good just to align on what do we mean by mission, vision, values, and goals. The mission is the purpose, so this is a really exciting project for us. We understand this is the opportunity to find the mission for the WIF Commission for the very first time. So this is a really great opportunity to work with this new commission, if you will, on that purpose. The vision is looking outward, so looking 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what are we working towards as a commission? And then the values are related to how do we want to be perceived? How does the commission want to be perceived? As well as how does the commission want to conduct your business? How does that work together amongst the agencies within this commission work for this team? And then, of course, the goal setting. This is really what's driving the strategies, the priorities, the actions for the commission. So hopefully this isn't too small on your screen. This is the schedule that we're working under. And Christina launched in. We did start in September 9th. We've had the kickoff meeting and we did the board interviews. We want to thank the board members again for having that individual time with us. We have good perspective from those interviews that we'll share in just a moment. And then we had a very engaging first workshop with the work group. It was a 3-hour workshop, if I remember correctly. And through the whole workshop, we heard from everyone several times. And it really set the stage for these workshops that we're headed into. So we'll have one with the work group in November, as well as December, and then we'll meet with this group again for a report in January. So what did we hear from the board member interviews? Again, thank you guys for the time that we had with you. We focused the conversation on desired outcomes, and you can see some of the reflection of that conversation here. And you'll see we'll touch on the work group input so far to date as well. Similar focus in the work group first conversation and the interviews with the board. And so what we found is obviously a strong partnership is desired for the SWIFT Commission. There was great attention, you know, as you would expect, that the WIF, the Willamette Intake Facility, is constructed on schedule and on budget, that it meets the operations goals, it's reliable. But we also, in those interviews, started to get the inclination of what the WIF Commission could be outside of just the operations and construction of the facility. So in that case, we started to touch on and hear from the group on protecting the watershed, and then areas like adapting to uncertainties and emergency preparedness. We also asked the group, what are your desired outcomes from the process? So ultimately, what does this help the group with? Both this commission now, as well as, you know, hopefully 10 years from now, this will be the guiding document for decision-making, priority setting. It is a unified voice. It helps to define success. You can look back at it and say, yes, we're accomplishing your mission, vision, values, and goals. And then there is a interest amongst the group that the piece that's developed is a communications support tool as well. So how is the commission communicating with the public, as well as with the stakeholders and with your agencies? That will be our checklist moving forward. We'll keep coming back to, are we meeting those intentions through the process? One of the exciting things, as you think about vision and that aspirational view of the commission looking out, we did ask that big picture question, and here's some of the things that came through in the discussion. So you'll see that construction and operation of the facility is on there, it's obvious. But then we started to hear some things that we were nice surprises, I guess, that are up for discussion as we move ahead. So things like, what is the commission's role in education, watershed education? What is the commission's role in water quality and watershed protection? And then again, on emergency preparedness, what is the opportunity there for this team? And then we also heard things like, we need to be considering what's the plan for 30 years out? So right now we're looking at water supply for, you know, the immediate future, if you will, but what are we doing for the next 30 years out? And then the DEI is a reference to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that just captures some of the areas of focus that came through in our initial discussions. All right, so we'll turn to the work group workshop. Again, we focused on very similar high-level discussions. We had some really fun activities. If you ever get some interest in what cover stories would look like, what's the magazine that this team aspires to be on, and what's the headline, we have some of that work. But we got to, if you would, the next slide. We really got to very similar sentiments through the board interviews as well, in terms of aligning investments, priorities, and goals, effectively managing the WIF, the Willamette Intake Facility, and then into areas of a potential protection of the Willamette River watershed. So what does that mean? And things like managing water rights proactively, partnership. So you'll see a lot of alignment already between the board discussion and then the work group discussion. And again, where we get to that more ultimate 20-year lookout, here's where we land. On the next slide, we started to summarize the themes that are coming out of the discussions. And we do this as we move closer to crafting that mission and vision. Where we are right now is in these themes, we have some inspection to do. So we have some layers to pull back in conversation with the work group next. These three areas are our WFC synthesis of where we are. Again, these can obviously change, but this is our launch in to what do we mean more so about the strong partnerships? What does that mean to the group? Where is there maybe some differing views on that, for instance? And then it gets a little trickier when you ask the same question for watershed protectors. Again, what do we peel back the layers here? What is the role of protecting habitat and environment? What is the role in terms of supporting source water protection and resiliency to disasters? And then regional influencers. So that's the work we'll do to really get to a mission and vision that everyone can support, is going into that next layer of information. Can we get some alignment? Where we disagree, can we spend some time to really drill into where there might be misalignment? So we thought we would take about 15 minutes of the board's time right now and really get your sense on those three areas. The question at hand and what we would like to do is to go through strong partnerships, watershed protectors, and regional influencers, and get your thoughts on what your top priority would be in those areas of themes right now. We carried the notes over into each of these slides, and we can take about 5 minutes per these three areas and really just open it up for your input. Susan's working with me behind the scenes here. She can capture the notes on the screen so we can do a little bit of tracking of the ideas as well. So this is where I'm opening it up to the group's thoughts. Top priority or a question as it relates to strong partnerships. And you can see some of the notes there in the white text.
This is Jim Dillon. Are you expecting oral discussion? Do our keyboards work? I'm not sure how we're supposed to do this.
Okay, let me clarify. I'm putting you on the spot just a little bit here. So yes, the idea is that we would do quick activity, captured thoughts. If you could speak your ideas out, we'll capture it on our end, so you don't have to type anything in. And we can also use the chat feature. And so if anyone has a question or a comment to add, you can also use that chat feature in Teams.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Goodhouse, I'll jump in. I'll start it. For strong partners, I mean, obviously I think going forward, it's always good to have relationships with our legislators. For anything that may come up or going on in the future. And then, of course, any of the other partnerships with different agencies and so forth. So agency and legislative partnerships are always important.
Great. Thank you for that. Thanks for starting there, John.
Mark Santucci, Beaverton here. I think, you know, of the three little subheads that you've got, four subheads you've got here, three are really strongly correlated in my mind with the strong partners theme. I think if you want to pick one of those out, for me, it would be the long-term aligned vision and plans. But I think all of them have all of them contribute to the theme. Mm-hmm.
Does this is strong partners area and the ideas here, and this one's probably the easier of the three, but does it raise any questions for the group?
No, I, Councillor Goodhouse again, I think just strong partners is always just, it's staying, it's keeping those communication lines open and having a staff that can keep an eye on what's going on in the future and communicating with those partners, either, you know, getting information from them or communicating with them or constant contact with those partners is always, is crucial. It's better to be ahead of everything and have those partnerships in line when you need to discuss or talk with someone rather than something happens and you scramble around, try to figure out who to talk to and create a relationship at that moment and talk about something.
This is Jim Doan. One of the things I would like to figure out is how long is this commission going to last? Are we done when the intake structures are finished? Do we have a role beyond that? I think all of our mission, vision, and whatever requires us to know what our time frame is.
That's a great question. All right, any more ideas on this one?
This is Councillor Garland. Yeah, I'm with Councillor Sanssouci on this. I think we spoke in our interview, and I'm a project manager myself, so long-term aligned vision and plans is right there. That's what I'm looking for. When it comes to projects of this kind of scale, I think, and looking down the line, I think it makes it easier to communicate what we're about, what we're doing, when we actually have an alignment and plans that we can lay out to people to really express why we're doing this.
Great input. For the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and move to the next one, and we can come back if needed. So, watershed protectors, there's a little more involved in this one. Supporting source water protection, protecting habitat and environment, resiliency to disaster. So, what would be your top priority, commissioners, in this area, and or a question for the work group to consider?
This is Jim Doan. I think we have to look as far in the future as possible because there's going to be a whole bunch of new emphasis on water quality features of stuff that we aren't even considering now. And I think that we have to get ahead of the curve on that so we aren't playing catch up. And I'm particularly thinking of microplastics. The research is just now being developed, and we don't know how to treat it. We don't know how bad they are. And I think there's a whole family of pollutants out there that we need to have an understanding of so we can assure our customers that we know what we're doing.
Great, thank you.
Commissioner Sanssouci, I don't disagree with anything Commissioner Doan said, and I also think all three sub-points that you've listed here are significant under watershed protectors. I think for me the dominant one is source water protection, but it really encompasses all of these things.
Commissioner Gadsby. I agree with Commissioner Sanssouci. We've got a very large watershed above us that has many inputs, and those things really need to be monitored over the years as things happen in our environment and in the region that is the watershed. So I think we need to be involved in everything that's going on upstream.
Excellent.
Councillor Goodhouse, I agree too. All three are very important.
I mean, of course, making sure that the water is protected and clean, but then I think really what's important too is the habitat and environment, to make sure that we protect that, the amount of water we can draw from the river, and keep that amount that we're planning on using is really important. And of course, I mean, disasters, you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, we've seen that this year. So I think that's always gets thrown on there, but always kind of, disasters are always kind of thought, well, that'll never happen, or that happens someday. And as we've learned, disasters can happen at any time, and there needs to be more of a focus as well. So they're all three important.
This is Jim Thode again. I'd also like to get in here that we need to get our force in the room, because we don't control the releases into the Willamette. We need to get some way of getting our interests on the table, and that may be legislative, either at the federal or the state level. But right now, we're just dependent upon what people want to give us. And I don't feel real comfortable with that.
Excellent. This is exactly what we were looking for. Are there any additional thoughts or questions about the WIF Commission role in this area? Okay. All right. Then the third one is regional influencers. Some of this came up in the discussion already. Advocating at the legislative level, if you have thoughts on priorities related to that, providing watershed education to the Mid-Willamette region or other not yet defined, and then securing funding support has come up as well. So any priorities as it relates to regional influencers or questions related to this?
Commissioner Sansusi, I'll start. First of all, with the last point that Commissioner Doan just made, which is that getting good relationships with the people that control the sources is very significant, and probably equally important is your first sub-item here, advocating for legislation.
Okay.
I think the other two items are important, but not quite as significant as those two.
Okay, great, thank you. On this, we'll carry this conversation into the next work group discussion, so it is very valuable to our next steps.
Councilor Goodhouse, education is always important for me. I always think that it's good as much as we can to get simple facts out to the public or out to the users. Keep it as simple as possible, but I think education is always important for people to know what goes into the water, how it's being done. Knowing from our Lake Oswego Tigard Water Partnership, when we added increased rates, people always wondered why is it more, or why are we paying for this, but they don't understand everything that goes into it to provide clean water and the structures, and that it's resilient, and all the testing that goes into place. So, and what goes into the water, and also just education of what not to dump into the water and to protect the water source. So. And not only that, but also how it works, where there is cycles of, you know, more snowpack or less snowpack. So the more we can kind of do simple education, I think helps people understand. A lot of people just turn the faucets on and think, you know, water comes out, but they don't always understand all the other details.
This is Jim Dodd again. I would like to provide funding for education at the school level. You know, let's put a 20-year horizon on this thing. And if we can help school children understand the interrelationships with water, then I think we've gone a long way to help our future generations with water supply issues and the need for balance between various positive qualities.
Excellent.
So I don't disagree with either Commissioner Goodhouse or Commissioner Doan on the importance of education, but at the same time, I think we should recognize that there are other agencies that work at that as well, such as the Regional Water Providers Consortium. And so if there's going to be work done by the WIF in that area, we want to make sure we're coordinated with at least that agency, if not others.
Are we missing anyone's thoughts? Commissioner Goodhouse, do you have?
Yeah, I was going to just jump in. I keep forgetting to say commissioner rather than counselor, all the name titles. I just wanted to advocate for legislation. We talked about that earlier, but I don't know if we have a designated person of or who's going to be doing that. I don't know if we, similar to Commissioner Sanssouci, where maybe we use another source that maybe works, or you know, with us with other water sources in the other area, or if there's a designated staff person, or a designated firm or lobbyist. But to figure out who that designated person is important. Of course, whoever the commissioners are will have their relationships with, you know, legislators, but identifying and naming a set source to continue that and be active with that is important. I mean, I think we already have that, but to make sure that going forward we have that.
Okay. One thing that is coming up in this discussion that we could note is what are those partnerships generally as it relates to these areas. So we'll make note of that as well. We're getting close to time here. So I want to make sure if there is someone who hasn't spoken up that would really like to get their thoughts in here, that you have that opportunity.
This is Kristen Ackerball, and I just wanted to add one thing. The specific, I guess, articulation of communication hasn't necessarily popped up in any of our comments yet. It's an undercurrent, or it's a theme common to each of these three areas that we've talked about. So, you know, communication with us, with each other, as individual cities that are part of this this commission, as well as the communication with legislative partners and different organizations that is doing the education. Maybe that we would also like to see happen or participate in or reinforce through our own measures too. So just hoping that theme of communication and clear, unified communication is included in One Life.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All right, I'm going to point out that the next board meeting is January 25th, 2021, and the meeting will be held virtually. There's no communications or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting, and there being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, and see you in the new year. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye.
Stay safe. Bye.